My scripture reading is in Genesis 3 and starting at verse 8. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for these words. We thank you, Lord, for this season. And Heavenly Father, for all of the festivals that we were able to partake in and celebrate in. And Heavenly Father, right now we ask that you bless the remainder of this service and each thing that's done and said, let it be understood, and the help that you would have by each one. And in all these things, through the Yeshua's name we ask, and amen. And my message to you today, I didn't at all have this in mind whenever I was asking God to give me a message for today, but it just so happens that it goes along with the Torah study and where this Torah study is taken, because we are marking the beginning of the next yearly cycle of Torah portions, and not the beginning of God's year, but the beginning of the Torah portion that we study each Sabbath. And my text is taken from that 26th verse of Genesis 4. So let's look at this. Genesis 4, verse 26. "To Seth, to him also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord." Isn't that something, that we go through the beginning of God's creation of the heavens and the earth and the different things that took place up to this point in time, and then we reach the point at which it tells us, then men become to call upon the name of the Lord. Up to this point, we've had Yahweh's creation of all the heavens and the earth. Yahweh gives commands for mankind's living. He gives laws, that is, do this, don't do this. Mankind, it then is recorded as disobeying. Then what happens? When man disobeys God's laws and commands, then God confronts man for that disobedience. "Why have you done this? Why have you disobeyed? How did you realize that you were naked and needed to have clothes on?" God then exacts punishment. And you know This is the first record that I know of within God's Word, within creation, of shifting blame. Man disobeys, God confronts. Man and woman shifts the blame, puts the blame on someone else. God confronts Adam. Adam said, Eve called me to do it. God confronts Eve. Eve says, the serpent caused me to do it. So we have blame shifting, and that's so common. After this, we see that it's recorded that Cain kills Abel. Isn't that something? Not long after creation, then murder comes into the picture. And then shortly after this is when, and all these things happening, and sometimes referred to as the fall of man or the men or the disobedience of mankind, death entering in as a result of disobedience. Then it's recorded that then men begin to call upon the name of the Lord. And I would suppose so. After God created everything so wonderful that He Himself said, and it was very good. And if He said it was very good, I'm sure that we can be assured that it was wonderful. It was very good. But yet, mankind's nature led to his disobedience. And then after this period of time, then men begin to call upon the name of the Lord. You know what? Sin is disobedience to God's law. And you know what sin leads to? More sin and worse sin. Let's look at Genesis 6, starting at verse 5. Genesis 6, starting at verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. The wickedness of man is described at that particular period of time, not far into the history of creation. It's described that the wickedness of man was already great. Let's look at 8, verse 8. But Noah found favor in the sight of the Lord. And let's look at verse 9. These are the records of the generations of Noah. And how is Noah described? Noah was a righteous man. That means right living, right doing, right being, blameless in his time, and Noah walked with God. Isn't that something? Noah walked with God, found favor with God, was righteous and was blameless. But how about all the rest of the earth around him and all the rest of other mankind? Let's look at verse 11. Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt for all flesh. Notice the word all. All flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. Then God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth." A time back then, such as today, a lot of corruptness. No one seems to be agreeing. No one seems to be getting along. No one seems to be wanting to solve the major problems. Economic conditions bad. But God has answers to all of that. And there was still one who had favor with the Lord throughout all of that. And you can see how quickly into history men needed a Savior. Men needed someone to solve the problems they could not solve. Men needed a problem solver. And God is the problem solver of all problem solvers. And so, men everywhere got to the point that they could see how everything was headed. And just as in Noah's day was filled with violence and corruptness and wickedness, and all flesh seemed to be going that way, so it is today. And so we should ask ourselves, we reckon how long is it that it's going to be before God closes our door? Just like he did the door of the Ark of Noah. How long before God says, it's enough. I've had it up to here. I'm going to do something about this. He doesn't look the other way. He doesn't run away from the problems. He confronts the problem, whether it's the problem itself or the people causing the problem. It's confronted by him. It's impossible for us to know all or to be sure about all that is implied in the works of our text. Then men begin to call upon the name of the Lord. But we can assume that it was a new beginning of sorts, that man had reached the point at which he had seen things happen, and so he realized something got to change here. Something needs correction. Perhaps a new consecration to the laws of God. It may be a reference to the beginning of the offering of prayers to God for him to intercede in what was going on. You know, you have Cain and Abel, but then you got to the point where Seth was born as Cain killed Abel. So Seth, in essence, came on the scene. And if you study the genealogy, Jesus Christ, David the king, all came from the descendants of Seth. Came right down through all of history. And so perhaps Seth coming on the scene was a particular point of interest, being that all of God's children recorded in His Word, the children of God leading down to the children of Israel, David, Solomon, Jesus Christ Himself, all came through that descendancy. And so we reach the point in time that we see that men begin to call on the name of the Lord. And how is it that they do? The first way is by praises for His abundant blessings. We appropriately call upon the name of the Lord to express our gratitude for His intervention. We have life. We can effect changes. You still have an opportunity, as long as you live and breathe, to render service to your Lord and Savior, Yeshua, your family and your fellow humans. You still have a commission given from Yeshua. You still have a work to do. You still have gifts that you were given as you were born to allow the Holy Spirit to work through you to accomplish God's plan. We need to give praise to God, because God working through us is God's means of imparting faith and courage to others. So when we call upon the name of the Lord, we call upon His name through praises of gratitude to Him. And secondly, these praises or prayers to Him not only needs to be just for the gratitude of how He cares for us and loves the love that He has for us, but it needs to include a prayer for forgiveness, for His forgiveness, and for forgetfulness. We need to have our sins forgiven. It became very clear as mankind was created and not long upon this earth that man was going to need forgiveness. He was going to need a way to be restored in good standing to his Creator. And God has a plan. We need a clean conscience and unhindered fellowship with God. We need to be able to forgive ourselves and to forget the failures of the past as far as permitting them to hinder our efforts for God in the future. God will both forgive and forget our sins if we but just come to our senses and accept that He has a plan, and what that plan is, and repent and get in the plan. Repent and confess, and then depend on Him to forgive and forget. We need to forget many things. Some let past successes cause them to coast during the present, getting all built up in what you were able to accomplish. The successes that come your way, we could look at them as the mountaintops that we travel in sometimes for a while. Others let failures serve as a stumbling block to their potential progress. Paul encouraged the Philippians to forget the past and press on toward the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's look at Philippians 3 and verse 13. Philippians 3 and verse 13. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Yahweh wants us to walk the high road. He wants us to choose the better things. And the better things always are with Him. And as He places them to be the things that we should primarily focus our minds and our heart on. It should not only be a prayer for forgiveness and forgetfulness and gratitude and praises to Him for His deliverance, for His sustaining, for Him being with us through every moment of every day. But we should have prayers to Him also for wisdom. We should walk in the paths of righteousness, which is wisdom. James was the one who challenged early Christians to practice pure religion. And he said, if any of you lack wisdom, we should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. And James 1 and 5 tells us about that. If we just by faith call upon the Lord for our guidance, we can be assured that our Lord will both hear and He will respond. We need to call on the Lord daily for guidance. And we can be assured as we hold on to His hand that He won't let us stray far from Him. But He, as a loving Father, will deal with us just as your Father did with you when you were young. If you need correction, He will give you correction. If you need guidance, He will give you guidance. He won't let us stray too far away without giving plenty of a reminder for us to correct our action, for us to correct the path that we are on. The author of Proverbs encourages us to face the future with optimistic faith. And in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we read these words: trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The Lord has the answer to all of our problems and concerns, all of our afflictions and diseases. The Lord has the answer. He wants us to remember him. He wants us to call on him for our help. He don't want us to just go to ourselves and our own understanding of what we think that we need. He wants us to consult him first. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. I love those words. And lastly, our prayers to him are remembering to call upon the name of the Lord. Lastly, we should remember that we have to have prayers for help. We need to call upon the name of the Lord for help as we yield to him in encouraging believers and encouraging unbelievers to call upon his name for salvation. That's the Great Commission, carrying the word to the world, letting them know of the kingdom to come, letting them know of God's love for them and his plan for them, letting them know that God wants them to accept his gift of the Holy Spirit to lead and abide, to comfort and to guide, and to direct your paths and to lead you on that path that leads to him, and not to turn aside, not to turn away, not to quit holding on to him and seeking his help. Remember the Lord in your time of need and trouble, as the psalmist David did, as King David. He was glad when they said, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." He knew that was the place known for the abiding presence of Yahweh. And that was the place where he could go for closeness to his Creator, for closeness to his help, for closeness to deliverance in his many times of trouble. There's many people that are around us every day of our lives that simply don't know Christ as their Savior. Don't know of God's plan to forgive and to save from sin, to remove the guilt from the mind and the heart. And God has that love, and he has that concern, and he has that plan of people opening their hearts and minds to him and becoming part of his family, becoming literal sons and daughters of his. They've not discovered the joy of being the children of God through the many gifts that Yahweh has for us, including eternal life, including salvation from sin, including the precious presence, abiding presence, never forsaking presence of his Holy Spirit. They're still in their sins. They are away from God, and they are lost. They need to hear the words that we know. They need to hear the words that we can bring to them. And they need that forgiveness that only God can give. They need that gospel that we have in our minds and hearts and embedded within us, and we can let them know that there's things that need to be corrected in their life, that there are needs that will never be filled by anyone else, any way else, except by having God in their heart and life. They need to be able to receive the encouragement that can only come by having that gift of the Holy Spirit leading them to their Creator. Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome, assuring them that our Lord is, and looking at Romans 10 and 12, let's look at there. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all. Listen to that, abounding in riches. He has what you need. We can refer to it as riches. He has the answer to your question. He has the answer to your problem. He has those riches for all who call on Him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, that might be a simplified version, but that's so true. And it surely starts there. You have the knowledge of God's plan. You open your heart and mind to that, to His salvation plan for you and all of mankind. And then you receive it, and then you abide in it. And then you let it change you. You let it cause you to grow each and every day of your life, to become closer to God, to become more like Him. That's the rebirth. You must be born again. That's part of God's plan. And when we accept that and when we do that, we will find ourselves leading the better life, able to help others in that regard also. And we will have more joy and more satisfaction in our life. And we'll walk closer to Him. Each day of our life, from that rebirth on, will be more and more glorious. We live each day of each year of our life one day at a time. And we should rejoice over the opportunities within those days that we have of calling on the name of the Lord. Every day that comes to us is a day for rejoicing in the Lord and calling upon His name for our help. If you would, let's stand right now. And I'd like to wish everyone a great and blessed Shabbat Shalom. May God's peace and His joy and His rest overflow you. And I'd like for us to read the blessing of the Lord to us. Let's read together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Amen.